Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, as you're having a seat, go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 31. Jeremiah, chapter number 31. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a message called Satisfied with His Goodness. Isn't that a great title? Satisfied with His Goodness. I noticed that in our day and age, in our society, that there's a lot of people like the Rolling Stones that are looking for satisfaction. Anybody know what I'm talking about, all right? If you know that reference, you're probably older than I am. And otherwise, you've been watching commercials and they've been using that a lot lately. I thought it was funny when Mick Jagger was interviewed about that song. He said that he was coming to America and he noticed the commercialism and he noticed how fake everything was. It was all driven. And he said because of that, there was an uneasiness and a tension on the inside of him that drove him to write this song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, though I try and I try and I try and I try, I can't get no satisfaction. And so for all of us, I believe that there's something on the inside of us, you know, even in the heart of Americans, you know, the pursuit of happiness. And often in our society, we equate satisfaction with happiness. Is that right? I was looking up satisfaction, looking through news articles and things like that to see what people were saying about satisfaction. Are we a satisfied society? And by and large, the answer was no, we're unsatisfied with life. People are looking for satisfaction. In fact, the world equates satisfaction with happiness so much so that they would actually give you factors and areas where if you'll increase these areas, you could be more satisfied. Areas like wealth, purpose. Here's one, body positivity. That's an actual term that I saw today. Social interaction, age. That's, you know, age is a factor in whether you're satisfied or unsatisfied. I mean, it's like, man, I'm 39 years old and I'm just not satisfied. Maybe when I'm 40, something will happen. You know what I mean? Cultural activities, different things like meditation. They say people who meditate are more satisfied with life. Well, I meditate on God's word, and that's true, but I think it's for an entirely different reason than they're saying. Here's another one, getting outside. They say, get outside for like 3 hours a day, and you'll be more satisfied. I think so, because you're not working 3 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like, of course you're going to be more satisfied. How about this one? They say, winning the lottery. You'll be way more satisfied, even though years of looking at that says the opposite. I don't know. I don't think they know what they're talking about. And as I look at that, I see that there's something sad because people are looking for satisfaction in things, in life experiences, in stuff, in activities, and they're not going to find it. Early this year, I went on a fast. You know, whenever I go on a fast, it silences appetites, desires, and it empties me of myself during that time when I'm seeking the Lord. And I noticed this last fast that I see my natural desires telling me something. You know what they're telling me? You're not satisfied. You want to eat. Anybody ever been on a fast and know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You stop eating for a minute and your body tells you you need some chips. Like yesterday, go get the chips. You need salsa, you need chips, you need something, right? You pass by a coffee shop, you're fasting coffee or caffeine, and it's like, just turn in. You can just break the fast right now. You know what I mean? Like, you just need that thing. Whatever you're fasting, you fast social media, you fast television, and it's like everybody's talking about it, and you just feel so unsatisfied. Your body tells you that. It screams that. But as you go into the fast, you realize that those things actually didn't satisfy. You know that if you don't eat long enough, hunger will go away? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That desire that is telling you it needs to be satisfied will actually silence and go away. Wow, very interesting. But see, they tell me that my only satisfaction will be in feeding those desires, but I find that God does not equate satisfaction with happiness or fulfilled desires. God equates satisfaction with a different kind of filling. Let's take a look at it in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 14. Now, this is in the midst of a prophecy, God talking about bringing his people Israel back to the promised land, things that we have seen fulfilled in our day and in our age. And in the kind of the ending verses before he crosses over into another area of prophecies about the Messiah, he says this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 14. I'm going to read it to you in the NASB. You can read it in whatever translation you have in your lap or on your phone that you have open. And it says this in Jeremiah 31, 14 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance. Now, you have to understand the context of what this is talking about. Because at the time of exile, there was no system of the the temple or the tabernacle at that time. So the priests would have been on their own. On exile, they would have been doing their own thing. But when the people get brought back to the land, God makes a promise and he says, and I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance. Now that word soul really is the life. I'll fill their life with what? Abundance. Where did that come from? That came from the tithes of the people. That came from the offerings of the people. So he says that the people are going to have a connection to God so much so that the priests, their lives will be filled not just with enough, not with just plenty, but look at the word he uses. He says, with abundance. And my people, now he says, my people. And whenever God says something, God often uses repetition, all right, in his language. And he will use that repetition for emphasis. So the priests have one level, but the people have a whole other level. Look at what the people have. And my people will be satisfied with what? My goodness, declares the Lord. Now, that word satisfied could also be translated filled. Filled to the full. Satisfied could mean that there was a demand, and speaking of supply and demand, that there was a demand and that that demand only could be fulfilled with God's goodness. You understand what I'm talking about? God says that the priests will have abundance. Why? Because the people will be filled up with his goodness. They'll have so much of the goodness of God that out of their lives and out of their offerings to the house of God, the priests will be filled with abundance. Wow. That's the type of life God wants you and me to live each and every day. Because this is not just a prophetic promise for the nation of Israel. We have now been grafted in, and now all the promises of God in him, in Jesus Christ, are yes. And in him, amen, and so be it. See, if we've been seeking satisfaction out there in the world, in experiences, in culture, in age, in different things that we could talk about from our society, whether it be wealth or winning the lottery, those type of things, cultural activities, right? Body, how our body style, how we look, that sort of a thing. If that's all we're drawing it from, that is a sad existence, and you will be walking around empty all of your days. But when you cross over and you realize that God wants to satisfy you with his goodness, it will change the world that you live in. You can live satisfied every day of your life. Doesn't matter how much you have, how little you have. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. Doesn't matter how many people turned their back and left. If you've got God's goodness, you can be satisfied in every situation. That's good news. That's really good news. See, we have to refocus our desires to be for God. And as we refocus our desires on God and on his goodness, then we will only be satisfied when we have his goodness. Did you catch that? If we can refocus our desires from things like food and drink and what we're going to wear and wealth and experiences and relationships here on the earth, those things are all wonderful and it's not bad to have them. Don't get me wrong, okay? We got to live in this world. All right, you got to wear clothes. Otherwise, they will drag you out and lock you up for indecent exposure. You got to have food, right? You got to eat to live, right? And so there are things that you have to have, but never seek satisfaction in those things. Only seek satisfaction for the Lord. Refocus your desires, your want, your hunger, your passion on God. And as you do, then the only thing that will ever satisfy you will be his goodness. And God will not leave you empty. Is anybody listening tonight? So the question is this then, how do we get it? How do we get it? If we're going to be satisfied with his goodness, how do we get his goodness in our lives? Great question. I want to answer it for you tonight in a couple of ways. First thing is this, is focus on it. Focus on the goodness of God. There's a whole lot of bad out there in this world. And if you focus on the bad, you can get discouraged, you can get downcast, and you can get depressed. You know that term downcast talks about a sheep on his back. Caught in a ditch. And as he sits there, his lungs fill up with fluid, and eventually he dies if he stays in that position too long. See, we are the sheep of God. And if we focus on the wrong thing, we will end up upside down, dying, sitting in a ditch. God doesn't want you that way. God wants you head up, shoulders back, ready to face the day. Focus on God's goodness. Now, does that mean that we should just hide our eyes? Oh, there's all this bad stuff going on. I'm not gonna look at it. I'm not gonna know about it. No. Again, we live in the world. There's gonna be things that take place. There's gonna be tragedies that happen on the earth. Even in Jesus' day, they started bringing up current events, and Jesus started talking to them about a tower that fell on a bunch of people. Started talking about a guy who slaughtered a bunch of people and mingled their blood with the sacrifices. Oh my goodness, stuff happens on the earth that we don't understand, that's tragic. And yet God wants us not to focus on those things. We'll know about those things. We'll understand those things. Those things will even move us at times to tears. They'll move us to anger. They'll move us to compassion. They should rise up on the inside of us. But our focus should be on the goodness of God in the midst of those things. That's how Christians stay sane. Oftentimes I see people going through things without Christ, and I say, I don't understand how anyone can go through that without having Jesus in their life. Because if I can focus on the goodness of God, unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of living, I would have given up hope, the Bible says. We got to focus on it. Wherever we focus, we will go. Have you noticed that? You ever see somebody walking, right? And as they're walking, their head turns first and then they turn? Why? Because they're focused on something else. If you're driving, if you ever noticed, if you start looking one way, you start turning that way. I was in the car one time with my brother, and all of a sudden he didn't like the song that was on the radio, and so he leaned over. And as he leaned over, we hopped up on the curb and took out a mailbox. A lady came screaming out. She was in her robe, you know, and hair curlers type thing. That's how I remember it. She probably wasn't, but that's how I remember it. Came running out. Oh, my gosh! And my brother, I felt so bad for him. He turned pale white. And he was just like, I am so sorry. I was flipping something on the radio, and this, that could have been a child. And now he felt really bad. You know what I mean? And he's just like, oh, and I could see him just breaking down. And the neighbor whose mailbox it actually was came out, and he was like, oh, he clipped the mailbox, eh? He's like, it's cool. I was working on a new radical design. I'm just going to put up a new one. Why don't you kids go on? I'll take care of her. You know, he was like, get back in the house, you know? But wherever we focus, we'll end up. See, if you focus on the darkness, you're going to end up in darkness. If you focus on the light, you're going to end up in the light. If you focus on all the evil in this world, it's going to tear you down. But if you focus on the goodness of God, you're going to end up right in the middle of the goodness of God. But I find that our desires are so fickle at times, aren't they? Because one of the hardest things to do is to not only focus, but to stay focused on just one desire. Just to focus on God's goodness. Man, throughout the day, there's so many distractions to that, isn't there? So many things that can pull us away. So many times that we start out our day saying, God, I'm going to focus on your goodness. And then all of a sudden, here comes something. And we're focused on that, and we end up going in that direction. And then we see this over here. We end up going in that direction. All the time when our focus was supposed to be the goodness of God. God says, I want you to stay focused. Don't let your desires bounce around like a ping pong ball on a table. You've been hungry and driven down Restaurant Row? That ever happened to anybody? That's like the worst, isn't it? Because you're just hungry and you just want to eat, but you don't know what you want to eat, right? And Restaurant Row has like so many choices. I've been in the car with my wife before. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Any ladies and gentlemen know what I'm talking about, right? You've had that. Okay, good. I'm glad that I'm not alone in this place. Isn't that maddening at times? It's like somebody just make a decision. And so what do you end up doing? You end up going to that place that has like everything, you know? Whether it be like one of my favorite places is the Cheesecake Factory. Their menu is like an actual book that they hand you, Ryan. And you can flip through and take a look at all the different selections. But see, sometimes that's even worse, isn't it? Because now that you've narrowed down to the restaurant, the menu doesn't narrow down at all. And you end up like with decision fatigue and you're in paralysis of analysis and you can't really do anything about it. You're sitting there going, man, the chicken looks good, but then the steak looks good, but then maybe I want some Mexican food, but then they also have Asian food, and you know what, all this stuff that looks really good, and is that a Peruvian dish? How did they get a Peruvian dish, you know? And you can't make up your mind. Why? Because your focus is all over the place, and in the end, you end up ordering something. Do you have ordering remorse? You know what I'm talking about? You ate it, and your belly was full, but at the end, you were like, man, I should have got the taquitos. I knew I should have got the burger. Anything other than what I ordered. You know, theirs looked good. Theirs smelled good. They really enjoyed theirs, even though it looked nasty. But you know what? I really should have got that. Why? Because our desires are so fickle. We bounce around from thing to thing. We thinking we would have been more satisfied with something else. But guys, can I tell you something? There's nothing else that's going to satisfy you like the goodness of God. And if we can focus on that one thing, if we can focus our life towards the goodness of God, his goodness, then we will find it. You're there in Jeremiah. Turn me to the Psalms. Psalms 107. Psalm 107. And I want to take a look at verse number 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. Oh, my goodness. Psalm 107, verse 9 says, "For he satisfies," look at this, "the longing soul." There are people who are satisfied with this world, and they will never seek the goodness of God because they're not in a place of longing. There's no desire. They feel like, I'm good. I'm happy. Life is copacetic. And they just coast along as is, and they will never experience what true satisfaction really is. "For he satisfies the longing soul," and look at this, "and fills the hungry soul with taquitos." No, with goodness. With goodness. Isn't that awesome? God satisfies the longing soul. Maybe you need to take your gauge. Maybe you need to check your lights and check the gauges and the switches and see, God, where is my longing at? How much have I been desiring you? How much have I been desiring your presence? Has my religion got routine, or is it a relationship that's relevant and real? See, God, where am I at? Am I longing? Am I striving? Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? And what am I hungering and thirsting after? Is it Netflix? Is it taquitos? Or is it the goodness of God that I'm actually searching for and desiring? He satisfies the longing soul. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, Jesus is speaking on this Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed," everybody say blessed. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst," look at this, "after righteousness." That's the right wisdom of God, the will and the way of God. Look at this, "for they shall be filled." God wants to fill you with his goodness. God wants to fill you up and satisfy your desires, but you have to be focused and longing on the right thing. Can you say amen to that? How do we get God's good satisfaction? Focus on it. Second thing is this. This one might be too simple for some of us in this place, but I need to say it. You got to ask for it. You desire it, and then you ask for it. Ask like Moses asked. Moses was having a conversation with God, and God says, "I'm going to go with you into the land." Moses says, "God, if you don't go, we're staying right here. God, we ain't going nowhere if you're not going." God says, "This thing is good." Moses says, "God, you got to go with us. You got to take care of us." God says, "I will. I'll give you my grace. I'll give you my favor." And then Moses says this. Listen to this ask. Moses asked the biggest ask, I think, out of any man I've seen in the Bible. He asked a big ask to God. He says, "Show me your glory." Now, there's no question mark at the end of that statement. It is a question, though. It is an ask, right? He's putting a demand on heaven. "Show me your glory." God says, "I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cause my goodness to pass before you." Moses was satisfied with God's goodness. He asked for glory, and God responded, giving him his goodness. They're interchangeable words. The glory of God is the manifested goodness of God. Therefore, Moses had this ask, but guess what? The Bible says that Moses was just a man like us. Bible tells us that we ought to be faithful just like Moses was faithful, and Moses had a big ask. I wonder how many of us are asking to see the goodness of God in our lives. Sometimes we feel guilty about asking for good things from God, don't we? It's like, man, I'm blessed. You know, I don't want to always be asking for stuff. And yet God gives you permission. He swings the door open wide. And so our prayer life ends up being in crisis mode, doesn't it? God, I'm hurting, I'm broken. You know, people are sick, things are happening. There's tragedies all around. And so we bring all this bad stuff to God instead of focusing on God's goodness. Now, again, that doesn't mean we don't pray for the bad stuff. Absolutely, bring that to the Lord. Bring all of your trials, all of your pains. God says, come and bring all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. He will satisfy you with his goodness, even if it's bad. But what about coming to God and saying, God, I want your goodness. God, I want whatever you say is good for my life. God, I desire what you have. Tommy Barnett came and he preached a phenomenal message here at this church one time. I remember he said he used to look over the menu, and then he got wise and he said, you know, those chefs, those guys know what they want to prepare. They know what the food and season is. So he says, oftentimes I'll look over the menu, but then I'll say, what's the chef's special? Just give me the chef's special. And he said, his prayer life has changed. God, give me the chef's special. Satisfy me with your goodness. I wonder how our lives would change if we just started saying, God, whatever you say is good. God, I'm presenting you this situation. I don't know what to do with it, but God, I ask for your goodness in this situation. God, here's a tragedy. Lord, it's looking pretty bleak. It's looking pretty bad, but God, would you show forth your glory? Would you show me your glory in the midst of all this tragedy and in the midst of all this sadness, God? Would you show up and reveal your goodness right in the center of it all, God? Ask for it. We got to come with boldness and ask, because it will be rewarded with a big result. Matthew chapter 7, turn there with me, still in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 7, starting in verse number 7, going to go through verse number 11. If you ever want to remember this reference, 7-11. We're not talking about Slurpees. Those things are not satisfying. Taste like chemicals these days to me. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, and I don't want any letters from 7-Eleven telling me how bad I am for knocking Slurpees. Matthew 7, 7, look at what he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Can I say something? That was easy, wasn't it? Sometimes we complicate God so much. We've got to live the perfect life, got to have the perfect prayers, and then it'll all be good, right? God just says, you can come messed up, tore up. You can come confused. You can just come as you are. Roll out of bed, right, and ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. There's that thirst. There's that hunger. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Once again, when God starts repeating himself, he's emphasizing something. Verse number 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? You know, my son woke up this morning. I said, buddy, what do you want for breakfast? You want some eggs? Nope, don't want any eggs. I said, well, we're out of cereal, so you can't have that. You want some granola and some yogurt, you know? And he's like, no, I don't want that. He says, I just want a piece of toast. I said, all right, you can have that. I didn't go out in the yard and grab a stone, throw it in the toaster, and bring it out and hand it to him and laugh at him. No, there was bread. Put it in the toaster. He got toast for breakfast. See, it's such a simple concept, and yet Jesus knew that we would understand that and recognize that. Which one of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he asked for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. That's a mean trick to play on a kid, isn't it? That's messed up. Dad, can I have some fish? You know, I'm like, kid's running. Doesn't work. Verse number 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Come on, somebody. Did you just read that with me? How much more? I got to say that one more time, because it's worth emphasizing so that we understand what we're talking about. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who... Oh, come on. You guys left the room, didn't you? To those who do what? One more time. To those who do what? To those who ask. But you got to ask. God says, I want you to come and ask for my goodness. So we got to focus on it. We got to ask for it. Here's another thing. If we're going to find the goodness of God in our lives, how do we get it? How do we get it? Next one is this. Stay after it. Stay after it. Now that comes back kind of to the focus, but this is a persistence. This is a stick-to-itiveness. See, we cannot go after our own desires, because they will only lead us to lesser desires. See, in the midst of our focus on the goodness of God, sometimes it takes a while for God to deliver his goodness in our lives. There are things that have to take place, situations that have to happen. There's times, there's struggles, there's processes. God knows the times and the seasons. Sometimes things happen fast. Sometimes it's like an Amazon same-day delivery, right? Here comes the goodness of God. You asked for it that morning, that afternoon it's there. Praise the Lord for that. Sometimes it's like God put it on a slow boat from China. They got held up in customs in Long Beach, somehow went to New Jersey on a train, and they don't know where it's at, and it's lost, and they're going to have to go find it and get it back to you here in California. Sometimes that's just how it works. I don't know why. And yet, God's goodness will not delay if we will stay after. You have to believe until you receive. You have to stick with what God has called you to stick with. And God says, stay focused on it, ask for it, but man, stay after it. Because if you don't stay after, what are you going after? Something else, right? Your own desires, whatever came up into your own imagination, into your heart. One of the scariest things that I read in the Bible is in the book of Judges, where it says that at that time, every man just went after the desires of his own heart. And you can see the end of their lives. You can see what sort of foolishness, what sort of wars were started, what perversions happened, all because men went after whatever seemed good in their own eyes. Wow. Stay after it. Stay after the goodness of God. See, again, if we don't stay after the goodness of God, remember the prodigal son? We'll end up like him. Looking at pig pods rather than at the father's feast. Even the older brother, when he's out there having a pity party rather than a prodigal party, the father comes out to him and he says, son, all I have is yours. If you wanted a party, all you had to do was ask and you would have had it. See, we got to stay focused and stay after it. Stay after the goodness of God. Back to the Psalms, this time Psalm verse number 17. Anybody having fun yet? All right, good, good. Just making sure. Psalm chapter number 17. I love this. Psalm chapter number 17. This verse just resonates inside of me. Verse number 15. Psalm 17, verse 15. He says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. That in itself is an amazing thought. He says, when I'm doing the will and the way of the Lord, the righteousness of God, the right wiseness, the right wisdom of God, the right way of God, he says, I will see your face. That's an amazing promise from the Word of God. But look at what it says. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Oh my goodness. You know what he just said? Until that happens, I'm not satisfied. Until that happens, I'm not giving up. Until that happens, I'm seeking your face, God. I will continue to do what you called me to do, and I will not let up. I will not give up. Devil, you can't get me off of it. World, you can't get me away from it. I'm going to stay after the goodness of God until I wake up one morning, I look in the mirror, and I look like Jesus. I will only be satisfied when I wake up in your likeness, O Lord. That's what he's talking about. We have to stay after it. Last one is this, and I like this one. I'm going to linger on this one for a little while tonight. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. We have to declare the goodness of God in our lives if we want to see the goodness of God in our lives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Notice what it says. It says, a man will be satisfied by what? By the fruit of his mouth. Do you know what the fruit of your mouth is? It's your words, right? It's whatever you speak. Your words are a seed that go forth, that get planted, and that eventually bear fruit. And as they bear fruit, you get to pick that, and you get to receive that in your life. That's the picture that he gives. The sower, in the parable of the sower, right, sows the word. And as he sows the word, it grows up and it bears fruit. So it says a man will be satisfied with good, how? By the fruit of his mouth. That means that if you are speaking the goodness of God into your life, eventually you will see the goodness of God in your life. Now on the opposite side of that, whoever is speaking the evil of this world, oh, I just feel like today's going to be a bad day. Oh, man, I really think today's going to be a bad day. Oh, I knew today was going to be a bad day. Oh, see, today is a bad day. What happened? You sowed enough seeds. And you didn't get fruit. You got weeds. You ever notice seeds of weeds grow fast, but fruit and good things take time? You got to stay after, right? and keep speaking it and keep declaring it and keep standing on the word of God and continuing to declare what God says about the situation. Those who hold fast to the profession of their faith will receive the reward of their faith. See, as we start to declare the goodness of God, you know what? The morning might look ugly. You might look out the window and it's overcast and cloudy. It might even look rainy, might look bad. And yet you say, you know what? This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Then as you're driving in the car, man, it's taking longer than you need to get there. And if you'll just start to declare the goodness of God, God, I thank you that I have more time in the car to spend with you by myself today, God. Thank you for this extra prayer time that you blessed me with. God, I'm just going to sit here and praise you for a second, God. Then as you get to work and there's more work, you say, oh man, oh, wait a second. I'm not going to speak death. I'm not going to speak bad about this work. God, I thank you that I have a job. I thank you that I got the grace of God to do this work, God. Lord, I thank you that this is going to be the best work that I ever do. And God, you're giving me a raise. Where'd that come from, God? I don't know, but I'm going to thank you for it anyways. Right? Start to declare the goodness of God. Start to sow the right seed into your life, because a man will be what? Oh, you guys left the room. Come on, let's try that again. Man will be what? Satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. It's time to change your confession. Time to start speaking life instead of death. Time to start speaking good instead of evil. It's time to start speaking encouragement instead of discouragement. It's time to start speaking light and life instead of darkness and death. Man will be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. Speak it. Declare it. Speak it in praise. Start to praise God. Psalm 63, 3 through 5, because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. This is the psalmist speaking to God. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, some of you guys don't know what that means. You ever had a nice, thick, juice. I haven't even got to this part. You don't even know what it is. And you're saying, oh, come on, Pastor. You know where I'm going, don't you? Steak, right? You can't talk about marrow and fatness without steak. And in their day and age, they didn't want none of that lean, you know. They wanted a New York. They wanted it marbled. Come on, somebody. You guys know what I'm talking about? They wanted the fatness mixed in there, because that fatness was actually the portion that they wanted. That was a blessing to them. That was not a curse. That wasn't clogged arteries and veins. Man, they walked everywhere. They were all skinny, right? No, you can find people in the Bible that were overweight and unhealthy. But he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, as with the best portions. As with those things that make for a healthy body, my soul will be satisfied. My soul will be filled. My soul, the demand of my soul, the longing of my soul that I asked God for and focused on and stayed after will be satisfied as with, or in the same way as if I was eating the marrow and the fatness, the best portions. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. You know, as Christians, I think we ought to be the most joyful people on the planet. And I think everybody ought to know it. They ought just know it by our actions and our lives, even though I think that everyone should be able to look at our lives and say, there's a Christian, right? There's a Christian, there's a Christian, there's a Christian. Why? Because they see it all over us. They see it in our integrity. They see it in our work ethic. They see it in the excellence that comes out of our lives. But they should see it in our joy as well. And they should also hear it coming out of our mouths. I love the fact that on December 2nd, down the street, when there was a terrorist attack, I don't love the fact that there was a terrorist attack, all right? But when they got on the buses and they got to our church campus and they parked, someone yelled in the back of that bus, oh, praise God, we're safe. See, they were praising God in that moment of tragedy. They were lifting up the goodness of God in the moment of that tragedy. I love the fact that when I handed the keys to a car that I'd been believing God to give away someday, that day finally came and God blessed me with that opportunity. We were leaving Bible college and we were coming back home, and we decided to leave one car there and drive one car home. And so we took the keys to that car and we gave it to a mom who had 7 children and 1 minivan. Come on, somebody. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And as I handed that to her in the middle of a big box department store, she shouted all the way to the back of the building, oh, praise God! And it resonated and echoed throughout that place. See, I love the fact that when somebody starts to declare the goodness of God, that the praise just comes out of the lips. The joy comes right out of the soul. Marrow and fatness, oh my goodness, all of a sudden turns into a praise unto God. We ought to be speaking with joyful lips the goodness of God all of the days of our lives. If you don't know what to say, just get into the Psalms. Start to find out what Jesus said when he rejoiced. Start to take a look at the different things that Mary and Miriam and Moses and the different men and women of God said in praise to God. Get into those expressions and start to let them become your own. And eventually allow the Spirit of God to rise up on the inside of you and give you new expressions. Sing a new song. Start to declare what God has done in your life. Your testimony has power. And when you are satisfied with God's goodness, oh man, you can't shut up about it. Come on, somebody. Is anybody listening tonight? See, as we focus our desire, ask for God's goodness, stay after it, and speak it, we will be satisfied. So what is the benefit? I think we've already seen a lot of the benefit, but I want to find out some more benefit because, you know, God always gives us these incentives in the Word. That if you will do this, if you will seek this, if you will go after this, if you will attain this, then something good is going to happen in your life. And the benefit of all that is getting God's goodness in satisfaction. We'll have all we need and be at rest because we are completely satisfied. Let me show this to you in the Word. Psalm chapter 36. Turn there with me. Psalm chapter number 36. I know we've been bouncing around the Word tonight. We're going to land the plane here. In Psalms chapter number 36 and verse number 8. Look at what it says in Psalm chapter 36 and verse 8. It says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Wow. You ever tried to take a drink out of a river? You ever been dunked in the river and took a drink that you didn't want to take, right? Okay, that's a little bit more common. But what is he talking about? Maybe you've heard the expression taking a drink out of a fire hose, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying there's so much of the goodness of God. There is so much that God wants to overwhelm you and satisfy your heart with that it's like taking a drink out of the river. But notice what type of river this is for a second. Look at what he says. This is the river of your, capital Y, speaking of God, your pleasures. Can you imagine the pleasures of God? Can you imagine the things that delight God's heart? Can you imagine what puts a smile on God's face? Those are the things that you're going to take a drink from. Those are the things that are going to satisfy your heart. You know, God delights when sinners turn to salvation. You know that God delights in people living a holy and godly, obedient life. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God takes pleasure and delight in obedience and not sacrifice. You can find all throughout the Word of God, God delights in thankfulness and gratitude. God delights in when we praise him and when we lift him up. These are things that you can drink from and that you can be satisfied with. And not just satisfied, once again, look at what it says, abundantly satisfied. I think we ought to take some time and take this moment right now just to do a couple of things. Number one, is would you, if you realize tonight as we were talking that your desires have been on the wrong thing, would you just take a quiet, private moment with God and would you just refocus, just recenter on Jesus and on his goodness? Maybe you need to repent because you've been going after the wrong desires. Maybe you had this in mind at one time and you've gotten off track and you said, God, tonight, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to go after lesser desires. I'm not going to focus on the pig pods when the Father's feast is available to me. Just take some time and focus on the goodness of God. Maybe tonight you'd never asked. God is giving you an invitation into the very throne room of heaven, to the throne of grace. And he says, I want you to come, and I want you to ask. Jesus gave the invitation, all who are thirsty, come and drink. Would you just take a moment privately and ask for the goodness of God in your life? God, would you satisfy us with your goodness? want to encourage you to stay after it. Stay after it, church, and speak it. Start to declare the goodness of God. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we lift up a shout and a praise to God tonight? Come on. Come on, let's lift him up tonight. Father, we praise you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we say that you are great. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are good, and your mercy endures forever, Lord. We love you, God. Hallelujah.
Woo. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.